This is Baseball Today.
First and foremost, I'm a baseball player.
Baseball is a funny game. There's a round ball that comes in a square box.
And then I ended up getting up and talking. I started to really get going, and I had to kind of cut myself off.
I know the fans are great. You know, this is where I wanted to be from day one.
Play ball!
Baseball Today.
Hello there. Welcome to the Baseball Today. It's Thursday, April 8th, 2010. I am Eric Carabel, your host behind the glass, Jay Soderbergh. Just the two of us today. Lots to get to. Great night of baseball on Wednesday. Some extra inning games to discuss. Early perceptions on the teams that are off to great starts, like the San Francisco Giants. I'll discuss that. Also be taking your emails. We've got some good ones today. You know where to send them. BaseballToday@ESPNRadio.com. And then, of course, we'll take a look at Thursday's game. So, big show coming up today. Here we go with Around the Diamond.
News from around the league.
Let's go Around the Diamond.
All right, big news. I think, is basically on the field, and that's what we want. Tim Lincecum reveals he has worn the same cap for every game he's pitched in baseball. Maybe not the most hygienic thing to do, but good for him. You know, it's not like he's been around since Jamie Moyer. We're talking 3 years here, but not a whole lot of news there. I wrote a piece about Nate McClouth yesterday, and I'm seeing now on the rumors page that his job in center field for the Braves might be in some jeopardy, isn't hitting very well. I think it's a little premature for that. Not like the Braves have a whole lot else that they can put in there. But Matt Diaz, I think they view him no longer as an everyday player, and Jordan Schaefer is, obviously didn't do very well last season, so I don't think he's really in the picture. I think McClouth will be fine. No worries there. Feedback on the David Ortiz rant. If you haven't seen it, it's on the baseball page at ESPN.com, right on the right side of the headline news where it says Ortiz rants. And if you didn't hear it yesterday, I mean, it was hard to hear yesterday because there were so many beeps. And I didn't want to read it because, you know, half of what I was going to say was not really what he said. But check that out if you'd like. Phillies picked up Nelson Figueroa. Odd that they got designated by assignment by the Mets, a team that really looks like it could use some help. But Figueroa is not an upside guy. Phillies just need somebody for middle relief and probably only for another week or two until Lidge is ready. Felix Pie, the young Baltimore Orioles left fielder, out with a rotator cuff strain. I think he pinch ran in the game against Tampa Bay. That would mean more playing time for Nolan Reimold there, which is awesome for him. On the field, where it really counts, some great endings last night. Yankees beat the Red Sox in 10 innings because Curtis Granderson has legitimate power. This is not just a guy who's going to hit home runs because of Yankee Stadium's little ballpark. This is a guy who has good power, and he homers against Papelbon for, I think, the second time in his career. Only guy Papelbon's ever given up multiple home runs to. And I said it yesterday and the day before, and I'll say it again. Great. Yankees take 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. Every game matters. Yankees against, you know, any team, Baltimore, Toronto, the White Sox, the Phillies, every game will matter in the regular season. But that's it. It doesn't carry any more weight than that. It's not like the Red Sox, the next time they play in May, are going to say, oh my God, we got to win 2 out of 3 here because we lost 2 out of 3 before. It doesn't work that way. And this means nothing for October. Although I will say this, does Granderson have Papelbon's number? That's something to think about, because I think these teams are meeting to decide the American League Championship in October. And, you know, first of all, Papelbon is going to pitch in the ninth inning with a lead, okay? It doesn't matter if Granderson's up or Teixeira or Babe Ruth. But that might be going through his head a little bit. I got to be honest. You know, I mean, Granderson hitting that home run, a big home run. And then they got another run. Chano Park with 3 beautiful innings in relief. Chano Park's a good pickup. And he did well for the Phillies. As I did not know when colleague Mark Simon told me on Wednesday's show, Park did not give up a home run in relief last season for the Phillies. He obviously gave up his home runs as a starter where he wasn't very good. Other stuff, and yes, there is other stuff other than Yankees, Red Sox, I'm glad to say. Giants 3-0. Get to them in a little while. Rays with a good win. Rafael Sorna closes out, but he does give up a run. Matt Garza, terrific outing. 8 innings, 4 hits, 9 strikeouts. Pirates win again. Mike and Mike were in Pittsburgh today, Thursday, selling their book. And the Pirates fans seemed somewhat jubilant. And there was an interview there with the GM, Neil Huntington, where he talked about this mess with the, you know, revenue sharing and all that, and the Pirates have the lowest payroll in baseball at $35 million, which is about $1.5 million more than what Alex Rodriguez will make this year. And every time the Pirates win, I gotta admit, I smile a little. When the Royals win, and they did in 11 innings as well, beating up Jose Valverde, I like when the Pirates and Royals win. They're not gonna win their divisions, they're not gonna contend. All right? They don't have the talent to do that. And it has nothing to do with the money, okay? You know, a Florida team with $30 million a couple years ago won a World Series. Or, you know, in relation to what it was in baseball at the time. Well, I don't remember how much. It might have been $15 million, for all I know. But the point is, yeah, you know, Dodgers and Tigers lose. They have money to Pirates and Royals. They don't. Yeah, that's good. I like to see that from time to time. Not that I'm rooting against those teams. Cubs lose another one. No surprise there. I'll tell you what would worry me about the Cubs, okay? Now, they're not scoring runs, and, you know, Carlos Zambrano could be a problem. Worry about that relief, because your setup man is John Graybaugh, and he gave up the home run to Chipper Jones, who really isn't a power hitter anymore, and that's it. You know, Carlos Marmol is your closer, and John Graybaugh is your setup man, and now they're talking about bringing up from the minor leagues Jeff Gray, who they acquired from the Oakland Athletics this offseason. There is no middle relief on that team, which is why they are going to be in, I think, on the Heath Bell sweepstakes and any other relief pitchers who become available this season. You know, maybe Jim Johnson of Baltimore, you know, a team that's out of it. I'm just telling you, the Cubs have got to do something about that middle relief. You know, it's only one game, and John Graybaugh is a good veteran major leaguer, but that's a problem on the Cubs, is their middle relief. Marlins win 7-6 over the Mets in 10 innings, and really a game that Florida should have won in regulation, to be honest. The Mets scored 6 runs without a base hit. I mean, they had hits in the game, but none of their 6 hits drove in a run. Leo Nunez, the Florida closer, who's honestly always going to be dazed from losing his job as a closer. He'll have a job as a pitcher for a bunch of time. But it wasn't a great season last year as the closer. Florida has gone through 7 different closers the last 8 seasons, so we know Florida is willing to make a change here, and it might be somebody you don't expect, okay? But the point is, Leo Nunez comes in with men on base in the 8th inning. He walks in a run, he balks in another to tie the game. They bail him out with a run in the 10th inning to win. But in Florida, another team where the middle relief, and the Phillies, to be honest. I mean, really, the Braves look like they have the best bullpen, I think, right now in the National League East. The Braves are going to be good this year. Athletics with a walk-off win, which is good for them on Kurt Suzuki's walk-off double. And what else really caught my eye about? Jose Valverde didn't get an out for the Tigers. I wouldn't worry about him. I think he's going to be fine. Nothing to worry about there. But I have a Paul Konerko off to a good start with 2 home runs. Vernon Wells hits 2 more home runs. He looks like he's healthy right now. I mean, last year's problem was probably because of the shoulder injury. And 2 home runs. Wow. Kelly Johnson stole 2 home runs, hit 2 home runs as well. 4 players stole 2 bases. The first 3, not a big surprise. I mean, you expect that Juan Pierrejuan and Pitsednik and Shin-Chu Chu has speed. Rafael Furcal only stole 12 bases last year in 150 games. For him to steal 2 bases, maybe he's making an early season statement. How about that? That's something to watch there. And Ryan Howard's going to hit 50 home runs. It's not just the Nationals. I don't remember where I saw the stat, but it was like that. It might have been on Baseball Tonight or whatever, but the highest, like the second highest home run in terms of height that they had seen in like 5 years. I mean, he looks strong. I'd be saying that no matter what team I root for. All right. Anything else that, in the around the diamond that, Carl Pavano wins, did not walk any of the 28 batters he faced. If you look up what Carl Pavano did last season, he did not allow a walk in 11 of his starts. He didn't have that bad a year. His ERA was a bit inflated, but his WHIP wasn't, which tells you that his ERA was a little unlucky. But Carl Pavano made his starts last year, I'm telling you. I mean, the Twins are going to be in this, and Carl Pavano is going to be a key part of that. And we still haven't seen them use Francisco Liriano yet. Nick Johnson has had an odd first 3 games, does not have a hit. He's 0-for-9, but his on-base percentage is .400. He has 5 walks, and he's been hit by a pitch. Nick Johnson can hit .220 for all they care. If his on-base is .400, that's all that matters. Certain guys, that's what you look for. Do they get on base? Guys at the top of the order, their job is to get on base. It's not to hit .350 like Ichiro or someone else like that. That's their job. Just interesting. The Mets run scoring plays. 2 bases loaded walks, 2 sack flies, a ground out, and a balk. I venture to say that either never has happened or doesn't happen very much. Here's the thing on Ryan Howard's home run. 172 feet high at its apex. The Hit Tracker database goes back to 2006. Only 2 home runs reach that height. Carlos Lee in 2006, and Ian Kinsler in 2009. What does that really mean? You know, it's just fun about that. That's what it's all about, having fun. I hope everybody out there is having fun as well. I don't see any other news, and we'll just spend more time later in the show on other stuff and get to your emails now. So why don't we just move it along to Call to the Pen.
Call to the Pen. You've got email.
Yes, we do, and you can send your emails to baseballtoday@espnradio.com. By the way, you can check out the Baseball Tonight Clubhouse page, which I do every day just to see what they're talking about. Today, Buster Olney writes about Nelson Cruz of the Texas Rangers, who off to a decent start. And by the way, his teammate, Josh Hamilton, went 0-for-4 with four strikeouts yesterday. I think only two of them were against lefties. But so far this season, Hamilton 0-for-7, six strikeouts, which I wouldn't read into. Okay, I don't think he's hurt. I don't think he's bad. Just interesting. And also check out, they have their Sweet Spot network of bloggers chatting with fans during the day's games in Baseball Tonight Live. And it's on that Baseball Tonight Clubhouse page. And if you look at the one for that's posted today, you will see a bunch of interesting names there, including my former co-host, who writes some things that will make you remember the good old days where he was not the happiest gentleman. But he's doing fine, by the way. And his name is Peter, and I can say it. I don't think Jay can. What is that? Okay, let's go on to the emails now. Jay shakes his head, which I love. Shelton and Millie Lonnie. I don't know where Millie Lonnie is, or even if it's a real place. Oh, Jay knows, of course.
Well, his subject line did say he was from the United States.
Okay, so Millie Lonnie, you want to Google that? You think it's a real place?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Honestly, I don't know. Not that it matters. I mean, the email makes sense, and it's good. So what's the difference where he lives? I mean, you know, I could be writing an email saying I'm from Des Moines. Shelton writes, as for other franchise faces, we talked about this on Wednesday's show, you named Albert Pujols and Joe Mauer, and I thought about Ichiro. And speaking to him, he is now officially Hall of Fame eligible. Another site claimed that he is, quote, on the cusp of being a Hall of Famer. Do you think if his career ended today, he is Hall of Fame worthy? I think so. What does officially Hall of Fame eligible mean? You could play 1 year in the majors and be eligible. You just need to be eligible after 5 years of retiring. You have something to say?
Well, he's from the United States, but not from the 48 continuous.
So Millie Lonnie's Hawaii.
Correct.
Okay. Or I guess it could be Alaska, but it sounds like Hawaii.
It's Hawaii.
You ever been to Hawaii?
I have not.
My wife is like on me about going to Hawaii. But how can I take a vacation over to the show?
You can't take it now.
I can't take a vacation. No vacations,
November.
Honey. I've got a very important job, and it's baseball. You know, that's the other thing. My kids are off this week, you know, and because of spring break, and they're like, why aren't we in Disney World or somewhere else? Well, it's the first week of baseball season. Who takes a vacation the first week of baseball season when you're covering baseball? You can't do it. I mean, I know you use up your vacation time every year, and good for you, but I can't take a vacation the first week of baseball.
Right. I just plan my vacations, you know.
I try. You know how much vacation I've not used over the years?
That first week of July, although that's usually right around the All-Star game.
Yeah.
I'm usually gone then.
I don't take my vacation based on my schedule so much as, you know, my kids are off or something like that.
February is a great month to take
vacation. I am
going
to take a vacation at some point.
Yeah.
That'll be, I guess, your problem.
But, yes. Yes, it will.
But it won't be in April, I'll tell you that, because I love baseball and I don't want to miss anything. I don't know how many vacations I've been on where I've been, like, watching baseball tonight from a foreign country thinking, why am I taking a vacation during baseball season? And I can't really take it during football season either because of my job. But anyway, what was the question? Ichiro, Hall of Fame worthy. Hall of Fame eligible means nothing to me. I mean, after 5 years, everybody's eligible. Von Hayes was eligible. Ichiro, I think he is Hall of Fame worthy, and I think he will go into the Hall of Fame, and I hope he stays with the Seattle Mariners, because there's a guy with 200 hits every season of his career in the States. Obviously, he didn't start his career in the United States at age 23 or anything, but he's going to end up with great numbers. Could he end up with 3,000 hits? I got to look up and see where he's at on that, but interesting. I think he will. I hope Seattle keeps him around. I think it's important that Seattle keeps him around. I didn't really think about some other players, but you know what? That was wrong of me. So let me just go through the standings here and think who else is going to play their entire career with the same team. We can rule out Tampa Bay. Yankees, we've said already, Rivera, Jeter, and Posada. I hope they all do. Toronto, you know, Vernon Wells, I don't think he's at the same level. Boston, I mean, I think Pedroia is like a Jeter type for the Red Sox nation. You can tell me if I'm wrong, Jay, but I mean, I think Pedroia, I mean, he's only in his third year, but I mean, I'd like to see him stay there forever.
My
right?
brother-in-law has an unhealthy infatuation with Dustin Pedroia.
That's awesome. Yeah. Dustin Pedroia is terrific. Euclid's too. I mean, they kind of epitomize to me Red Sox Nation. You know, Euclid gets hit on the head by a pitch last night, and then the next inning, Lackey, of course, hits Derek Jeter, which you're supposed to do. It's baseball etiquette. Nobody got thrown out. There were warnings. Jeter comes down to first base and, like, pats Pedroia on the head. You know, pats Euclid on the head. He knew it was coming. I mean, somebody's getting hit. Why not hit Jeter? Orioles, it's too early to talk about Matt Weavers. Actually, it's too early to talk about any of this. I mean, how many guys have been in baseball for, like, 15 years or Mauer types? And you can say, well, I hope they stay there forever. I mean, you know, David Wright of the Mets. I mean, you know, at some point the Phillies are going to part ways with Ryan Howard. I'm sure of it. Utley and Rollins, maybe not. Hanley Ramirez has already been on another franchise. Anyway, that's moving on. Ichiro Hall of Fame. This is Curtis, San Dimas, California. Hey, guys, love the show. Glad you guys are daily now. I love baseball. And like a lot of fans, I like to think and see where players could go, and I know the reason just start the season just started. But what players do you think will be likely to be traded at the deadline if the teams are not winning? Keep up the great work. Another question that probably deserves some prep time from me. The obvious answers are San Diego Padres, Adrian Gonzalez, and Heath Bell. I don't see Adrian Gonzalez going to Boston. Everybody's been talking about this for 6 months. Where is he going to play? I mean, as long as David Ortiz hits even a little bit, there's no room at DH. Adrian Beltre is a terrific third baseman. He's not going anywhere.
He's not hitting now.
What's that?
David Ortiz isn't hitting now.
Well, he had an RBI single last night.
Oh, there you go.
But he's not going anywhere, and they still have Mike Lowell, too. They're not trading for Adrian Gonzalez. I don't know who is, if anybody. I suppose other teams, you know, obviously a lot of teams would be interested, but, I mean, how many teams really need a first baseman? Is Baltimore going to trade for Adrian Gonzalez? They need a first baseman. Toronto? They want Brett Wallace to be their guy. Tampa Bay, I mean, maybe if they move Carlos Pena, but they're not going to be able to afford Adrian Gonzalez. So Heath Bell's getting dealt. I don't think it's going to be in Minnesota where John Roush is off to a good start, but it could be, I mean, if there's an injury. Other people that are going to be traded, I mean, you look at bad teams. I mean, Cleveland Indians aren't going to be very good. But I mean, who wants Travis Hafner? Who wants Jake Westbrook? Jake Westbrook, my early favorite to lose, to make a run at 20 losses, if he's healthy enough. Baltimore could, you know, could trade some relief pitchers again, like they traded Cheryl. Washington, you know, you look at the Nationals, they're not trading Adam Dunn. I think they're going to try to sign him. They have no pitching to trade. I mean, who's Washington going to trade? Houston doesn't want to trade. They think they're contenders, even though they've lost their first three games. By the way, which teams are real and which aren't? San Francisco's 3-0. Are they real? Or is it just a nice series at Houston? If that pitching continues, then they're very real. Dodgers 0-2 at Pittsburgh. Do you worry? No, not yet. Houston 0-3, Cincy 0-2, Cubs 0-2. I would say Houston's just not a very good team, especially without Lance Berkman. And their pitching depth, they don't have any. And Roy Oswalt's not the same guy. I would worry about the Astros. If I were an Astros fan, I don't think they're winning half their games. And it's not because of this first series. It's just the construction of the team. Tampa Bay off to a good start, 2-0, and close games. That's what they did 2 years ago. They weren't winning like the Yankees were winning last year. They were winning close games with bullpen. And good to see. Next question. Jeff Bacon. Bacon. I think he's emailed before, and I've done the same thing before.
Who doesn't like Bacon? He emailed earlier this week.
Did he? Right. Okay, well.
He did. But
thank
you,
Jeff, for emailing again.
He has good questions.
Don't you like Bacon?
I do like Bacon.
Do you know anybody who doesn't like Bacon?
I know a few.
You do?
Vegans.
Everybody likes Bacon.
No, vegans, they don't like Bacon.
That's wrong. Jeff writes, I've watched baseball broadcasts on TV for years, and compared to other sports like football, there doesn't seem to be much difference between a broadcast from 10 years ago and one from today. Everyone I know that watches sports has a large HDTV. I'd like to see more use of picture-in-picture to show more of the field, more wide-angle shots, more graphics to display, stats. I've seen some broadcasts where they have a graphic on the field showing how far the base runner is. That's cool. What innovations or changes in baseball TV broadcasting do you think could really improve the baseball viewing experience? Well, I might be unlike other people, Jeff, but I mean, I just want to see the baseball. I don't care so much about all the angles and I know the stats, but I like to see them anyway. I don't really want to see the announcers, you know? I don't, unless they're cheerleaders. I mean, you know, I know what Vin Scully looks like. Innovations in baseball TV broadcasting. I'll tell you what I don't like about TV broadcasting is when people who don't know what they're talking about are in the booth and they say things that are clearly wrong. Or they say things like, or there's too much superlatives, like, oh, this guy's the best player in baseball. Or I know what it is. There's nobody who works harder than this guy. Can you please stop with that? First of all, how do you measure it? If you want to say, oh, wow, Joe Mauer's a really hard worker. Okay, I'll buy that. He is. So are 300 other baseball players. But please don't say, that's what bothers me about baseball broadcasting. And really all broadcasting, I guess, to some degree. And I know they're trying to sell you on the game and the players and all that, but we don't need that. Don't tell me nobody works harder in Major League Baseball than Ryan Howard on his defense. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. First of all, it's probably not even right, but everybody works hard. Or if not everybody, I mean, a lot of people do. I just, you know, this is the best player in baseball. Okay, we all think it's Pujols and Mauer right there, but the superlatives have to stop. And I probably shouldn't even be saying this because, I mean, it happens a lot at this place too. I think we'd all agree. But, you know, to say that nobody works harder than Tiger Woods, please. Obviously, it's a big day for Tiger, but I don't want to hear it. What else do I want to see? I don't know. I mean, I just want to see, I could see different angles. You know how during the NCAA tournament, they were showing like angles from like above and the side. And we have this, I don't remember what it's called, but we have this thing on SportsCenter where like for basketball games, they show like, or for football games, they would raise the camera up and show basically the play happening. I wouldn't mind seeing, one of my favorite things about being at a baseball game as opposed to watching it on TV is seeing the construction of a play. A guy hits a gapper. And you see a bunch of different fielders move around, okay? And when you're watching on TV, you know, you're just seeing Jose Reyes round the bases, okay? And maybe you see the outfielder pick up the ball and throw it. If you're at a game, you can see, okay, Jeff Francoeur picks up the ball in right field, throws it to cutoff man Alex Cora, who throws it to third baseman David Wright. You see, like, the construction of a play. Same with football. You just see more things. I would like to see angles, more cameras show that, I guess. How about that? Anyway. And bullpen. I want to see what these guys are doing for seven innings before before they're ready. Lighting each other's feet on fire and stuff like that. That seems like fun. Michael Reifenberg in Norman, Oklahoma. I've been reading a lot about UZR recently. It's a stat. And just finished reading Bill Simmons' most recent post on ESPN.com where he talks about how the abundance of esoteric stats in baseball turned him away from the game for a while. Like Simmons, I have a love-hate relationship with stats. Some seem helpful. Some seem so darn confusing and almost superfluous. What are your thoughts? Can hard to understand stats, like war, turn away the casual fan? Isn't there a lot to say for taking an approach to understand the game that doesn't take into account all these new and bizarre stats? In other words, are they really needed? Thanks for your time. I will be bringing more questions. All right, Michael, I'll be ready. You follow Bill Simmons a lot closer than I do, Jay. Not to say I don't like him or anything. I listen to his podcasts and I read his articles. He did write an article last week. He mentioned my colleague Tristan Cockcroft talking about BAPIP, batting average on balls in play. And I think essentially the point of his article was that his dad, you know, from a different generation didn't understand these stats, but now he's kind of getting into it. And I think Bill understands that stats are important, right? I mean, that's what it's all about.
I suppose. I think Mark brought it up with us off the air yesterday. And said it was a really good article that we should check out, which I have yet to check out. But I don't know. I thought the question was funny. You know, are stats really needed? Well, no. You can just watch a baseball game and not worry about any sort of stats.
They help your joy of the game. I love stats.
Yeah.
Not everybody likes. It's not for everybody.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with fantasy baseball. I like stats that have nothing to do with fantasy baseball. You know, UZR and fielding ratings. I mean, they enhance my love of the game. I think it's important. I love seeing how Troy Tulowitzki is by far the greatest shortstop right now.
My son is watching baseball not because of stats. He's watching it because he likes saying Big Poppy. He likes, you know, he likes
to follow. I wouldn't
plan
that quote.
No, probably won't. You know, he likes watching the players, you know, that his Uncle Mikey likes, you know, so, you know.
I understand the question from Michael here, but I have a love relationship with stats. There's no stat that I don't like. I think some can be overrated a little bit. You know, like I talked about with clutch hitting, you know, you got to see a bigger sample size. You don't know if the game's 10 to 2 at the time when the guy has a base loaded triple, stuff like that. But, check out Simmons' work. It's all over ESPN. He does a great job. And, you know, I have nothing bad to say about him. Friend of mine. Good job. Okay. Those are the emails that I have for today. And you can continue to, and by the way, I don't think any hard-to-understand stats can turn away a casual fan. Just ignore them and enjoy the game if you want, all right? Just like, you know, some people don't like fantasy, ignore it. You know, Baseball Tonight doesn't cater to that. Baseball Today at ESPNRadio.com is our email address. Please send your emails. And on Friday's show, as far as I know, is it Power Rankings Day? Did you ever find out about that?
I should look that up.
You probably should look that up. Yeah. I could probably look it up just as well as you.
I'll probably look it up like right now as you go into the view.
Let me check the budget and see.
Why not?
It, basically, almost whatever home. They do.
Taking a look at tonight's matchup.
This is The View from Third.
I don't have my headphones on today, nor do I care. I mean, why do I need headphones on a day like today? There's no guest. I see you. I'm in Bristol, Connecticut today. I won't be tomorrow. Not that there's anything right or wrong with that. I'm very careful. You have to be on this show. All right, lots of day games. I'm going to keep doing this until you tell me to stop. Lots of day games, which is great for me because I'll be driving and listening, starting with the 12:35 Cardinals Reds game. Some debuts. Brad Penny going today for the Cardinals against Bronson Arroyo. I think it's interesting, Brad Penny, because Dave Duncan is the pitching coach, and everybody wants to see what will happen with you know, reclamation projects, you know, like that. Kent Bottenfield types, you know, Jeff Weaver, who else has gone to the Cardinals and been fixed by Dave Duncan? Not everybody, you know, Rich Hill hasn't yet, but a lot of people, a lot of pitchers do. Interesting to see there. Obviously, we got to see what Dontrelle Willis does against Kansas City today. I am rooting for Dontrelle Willis as a baseball fan. I'm not any particular fan, good or bad, of the Tigers. I just think, you know, I root for people, too. I mean, I'm a human. I have feelings. I do. And Dontrelle has feelings, and I hope he can get past. I'm not asking for him to win the Cy Young Award. I want to see him get through the entire season because, obviously, he's got some personal demons there that have held him back professionally on the field. I want to see him do well. He doesn't have to win the game today. Just pitch six innings and don't walk more than three guys. Don't walk so many people like Rich Harden did yesterday that your outing is three innings. Rich Harden, he gets 11 outs. Okay, and eight of them are on strikeouts, so obviously he had his good stuff. He also walked five in 3 2/3, and he gave up only one hit. Now, if you're going to give up one hit in your outing, don't let it be a home run to Alex Gonzalez. What a weird outing for Rich Harden. This is why I just refuse to recommend him to people from a statistical angle. You have no idea what Rich Harden's going to do. You think, oh, Rich Harden's always going to be good when he's healthy. Look at his numbers last year. He wasn't good. You have a ton of home runs and a small amount of innings. His ERA and WHIP were inflated. And that wasn't in a noteworthy pitcher's park. Now he's in a noteworthy hitter. I mean, a noteworthy hitter's park. Anyway, day games today. Looking for Dontrelle to see what he does. Dodgers, I don't think you want to get swept in Pittsburgh. Not that you can't overcome it and still compete for the title in your division, but Chad Billings on the mound against Paul Mahalam. Kyle Kendrick, Phillies number three starter against Craig Stammen. That Washington rotation, man. The whole pitching staff. It's going to be tough. Brett Anderson, one of my favorite young guys to watch this season, the young lefty for Oakland, is on the mound against Seattle. And they've had a really good series. This will be the fourth game of the series. Tonight, Tommy Hansen going for the Braves, and frankly, I think he's their ace. You can say the others, you know, obviously he's not pitching on the first day of the season, but Tommy Hansen's got the goods, man. He is going to be a monster. I think Nate Robertson was a terrific pickup by the Florida Marlins. I really do. He had a great spring for the Detroit Tigers. They decided they wanted Dontrelle to be their fifth starter. They dealt Nate Robertson and paid just about all of his contract. It was something like 9.6 of the $10 million he's owned. They traded him to the Florida Marlins for a prospect who is a low-level guy, and Robertson's first start for Florida in spring training was 7 innings, 2 hits. He's really going to help them. And if you look back at the old Nate Robertson numbers, no, he wasn't winning Cy Youngs, but he was giving them 200 innings. He was winning double-digit games. I think he's going to be a real key to that Florida Marlins rotation. Goes up against John Neese. Interesting series so far, Mets Marlins. You know, I mean, both teams, I think, will win more than they lose. How about that? And the Braves will, too. I think 4 of the 5 in the National League East, and nothing I've seen so far is going to change. I mean, Washington just, I don't know how they're going to compete. Later on after that, Brian Mattis, if you want to see, if you're able to watch all the games, and actually you can this week, I think that MLB package is free this week. If you want to see a young pitcher with some good stuff, check out Brian Mattis for the Orioles going up against Jeff Niemann, who was very good last year as a rookie, too. Orioles, Rays have taken the first two, but good games. You know, not blowout games like, you know, Nationals baseball. Brian Mattis, a good young pitcher. White Sox, Indians in their final game of the series, Masters and Floyd. And later on, Joel Piñeiro makes his debut as a Los Angeles Angel against Kevin Slowey. Two good teams that could win their division, Twins and Angels. Twins have taken two of three so far. Pinero's numbers against current Twins. I was looking this up yesterday for a story I was writing. Not very good. Joe Mauer, 13 of 18 lifetime against Joel Piñeiro. Now, obviously, Joe Mauer hits everybody, but Joel Piñeiro is not a strikeout guy. When he doesn't have his command and doesn't induce ground balls, he gets tagged. But he didn't get tagged last year as a Cardinal, and I don't think he's going to get tagged this year as an Angel. I think he's a different pitcher than what you saw as a Seattle Mariner. I mean, everybody was hitting Piñeiro when he was a Seattle Mariner. There was only like one good season of his career. Anyway, current Twins had like 1,000 OPS against Piñeiro. You're going to see Jim Thome as a DH apparently today. I'm interested to see how they get all those players into the lineup. Jason Kubel sat on Wednesday. Dunwin Young played. Dunwin Young off to a good start. Thome is going to play on Thursday. I don't know who's going to sit. Maybe Delman's time to sit. But Joel Piñeiro, you know, I think he's going to help the Angels. I think the Angels are winning that division, even beating out the Mariners. Mariners 1-2 so far. I think bullpen's going to be a problem for them. And I think scoring runs is going to be a problem. And I wrote an article the other day about Casey Kochman, how he could knock in 100 runs. Don't laugh at me. I made my points. You can disagree with them if you like. And I always laugh at the conversation that goes on with the blogs and articles that people write, especially my colleague Matthew Berry. That's a story in itself, honestly. If you want to see angry people, happy people, I mean, both ends. I mean, read a conversation on a Berry column. But mine, you know, they get some. I'm not generally as controversial. But when I said Casey Kochman could knock in 100 runs and that 28 players knocked in 100 runs in 2009 and they were all owned in fantasy leagues, you know, people were like, ah, you're crazy. Casey Kochman, he's terrible. Well, anybody who bats third in a lineup can knock in 100 runs. It's just the bottom line, especially if there's men on base. And I'm not talking about Corey Patterson types like the old Cubs. That year that Derek Lee had, he would have knocked in 170 runs if there was anybody on base for him. He would have won the MVP. Instead, he didn't because there was nobody ever on base. Ichiro and Figgins will be on base. Casey Kochman, I'm telling you, he's going to knock in a lot of runs if he hits third consistently against right-hand pitching. I mean, Rico Bronya, who now I call a friend, he knocked in 100 runs twice for the Phillies, and in neither season did he have like an 800 OPS or even close. I mean, there were just lots of ducks on the pond. Well, that's why Casey Kochman can knock in 100 runs if he's healthy, if he plays every day, if he bats third every day. A batting order has a major say in RBI potential. Anyway, I think Seattle could use an upgrade there, but the point is Casey Kochman, terrific fielder, Mark Grace at the plate, you know, type, can hit for average, doubles. Where was I? Anyway, those are the games that are on tap for Thursday. I believe I've filled my allotted time now, which is what I'm trying to do every day. I'm trying to give you everybody out there a good, energetic, passionate half hour of baseball talk. Whether I have a guest or not, whether Jay opens his mouth or not, that's what I'm trying to give you, one half hour, so you can avoid all the problems in your life and whatever. And we all have problems. Anyway, I will be back on Friday, and I believe so will Jay, and I don't know if anybody will be with me or not, but it doesn't matter if they are, because it's going to be a half hour of good baseball talk. We'll take three emails at baseballtoday@espnradio.com. We may or may not do power rankings, I don't know, but we'll certainly talk about the Thursday games and prep you for a big weekend in baseball. So thanks for listening to Thursday's show. I'm Eric Carabell for Jay Soderberg. We'll be back on Friday.
Thanks for listening to Baseball Today. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
Yeah, that's what we've been looking for.